Do not be many teachers, for they shall receive a greater judgment. And the reason is that teachers are responsible not only for what they believe, but what they get others to believe and what they share. In other words, there's a higher accountability because they are responsible not only for themselves, but for everybody who hears them. And I believe there's a false hope and a false doctrine that is circulating in the body of Christ that I believe is going to cause many to stumble and possibly even fall away. I want to read a post that is circulating on Facebook, and it goes like this. People are being asked to circulate this and post it, and it says, quote, "Just in case anyone wonders where I stand, the 7-year tribulation will be worse by far than anything anyone could imagine. When you hear that millions have inextricably disappeared in the rapture, you will have 7 horrible years." And then it goes on, and everything after that is fine. But folks, the burden of the Bible is not to keep people out of tribulation. The burden of the Bible is to keep them out of hell. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Folks, I believe there's people that are putting their hope in a false doctrine and a false teaching. Both Jesus and Paul refer to the time known as Jacob's trouble, because it's going to be centered on Jerusalem, Jacob's home, and his children's home, his descendants, the Great Tribulation. Both of them refer to it as birth pangs. Now, Alex, do you plan around being around your wife for her birth? Are you going to help her through it? Have you had breathing classes? Okay. So, what's the whole point of birth pangs? To celebrate the birth of the baby. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about that. He says, all creation groans in pain together till now, anticipating the coming of the sons and daughters of God, being gestated in Mother Earth, in this womb of Earth, and we're all in anticipation. How many of you know that when the pangs get harder, Mom, and they get closer, that's when you turn and say, honey, let's go to the hospital. Are you going to have a home birth?
No.
Okay. Good. Well, we just switched hospital on you, so you're in good shape. The problem with this false hope and this teaching that we're not going to be here for the birth pangs for these 7 years is that it's not true. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about a secret, separate rapture distinct from the second coming of Jesus and the resurrection. In fact, I would argue that the rapture is the resurrection. And the resurrection, according to these scriptures, is at the end of the 7 years. Every description in the scripture of the Lord's coming has him coming first and then the resurrection of the saints or the rapture. So tribulation, the Lord comes, and then the resurrection. Think of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sign of the Son of Man will be seen in the heavens, and he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other. That's Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation, Jesus comes, raptures and resurrects the saints. 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, regarding the coming of our Lord and our being gathered together to him. What comes first? He comes, we're gathered. Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus who left will come in like manner. And in Revelation chapter 20, John concludes the book of the Apocalypse, the Revelation, by saying that the first resurrection includes the saints who have not taken the mark of the beast. Now, I just want to know, why would the operative word of the book of Revelation, what's the operative word? He who overcomes. Why would the operative word of the book of Revelation of the end of days be overcome if we're not going to be here to overcome it? Jesus said in Matthew 16:33, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. How many of you are married? How many of you have kids? How many of you live on the Mendocino Coast? Okay. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I would even say that Jesus prayed against a secret, separate rapture. Remember John 17? Jesus said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Who's the evil one? How many of you have Psalm 91 protection? 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it won't come near you. He will give his angels charge over you. We prayed that the Mendocino Coast, Fort Bragg and Mendocino, would be virus-free. We met every morning and every evening praying that we would be virus-free. God gives special protection to those who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, it's very interesting. That little phrase in John 17, keep them from, in the Greek is the word tereo ek, keep them out of. And some have supposed that that means to lift them out in the book of Revelation, because it says, the Lord says to one of the churches, "For to him who overcomes, I will keep him from the hour of temptation, which is going to come upon the whole world." It's that same phrase, keep them from. In John 17, keep them from the evil one doesn't mean that we get beamed out of here. It doesn't mean that in Revelation message to the churches either. Folks, it means protection, it means preservation, not evacuation. Both the Old Testament stories that Jesus uses to illustrate the second coming, you know their names, Noah. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember Lot's wife. What happened? Lot got escorted out, his wife, they were told not to look back. She looked back, and she's turned into a pillar of salt. Now, Noah, in both of those illustrations given by Jesus that represent the end times, the end will be like the days of Noah. Noah is sheltered in an ark, and Lot is escorted out and protected. But they both remained in a protected, preserved place. And he also uses Job. He says, remember the suffering of Job. So the idea of a secret, separate rapture actually comes from the story that Jesus told about Noah. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For they were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, until Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and what? Took them all away. Then he says, two will be walking One will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be in bed. One will be taken, the other left. Now, do you want to be taken or do you want to be left? Noah was left on the earth. The flood came and what? Took them all away. They were taken in judgment. This idea was popularized in the 70s. Anybody remember? I wish we'd all been ready. Yes. It was, it goes like this. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been all left behind. This was popularized by Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. He actually suggested that a generation of 40, that the Lord would return. 1948, Israel was reestablished. The budding of the fig tree, he said, within a generation, we're going to be gone, and we're still here. So the church has been trying to get out of this for a long time. But the Lord wants us here because his work's not done. Every passage that gives an order places tribulation first and then the second coming and the resurrection. And the only way to suggest anything else is to suggest three comings. He came first time, he'll come again secretly to snatch away his bride, and then he comes a third time for the tribulation saints. That's three comings. That's not what the Bible preaches. Now, in no way do I want to divide this church or divide the body of Christ. However, we must rightly divide the word of truth. And putting our hope in a notion that we're going to get beamed out of here before things get worse, I think is folly. Now, the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, right? Let me suggest that the flood was the wrath of God. Let me suggest that fire and brimstone from heaven was the wrath of God. Let me suggest that the 10 plagues in Egypt were the wrath of God. Were they all present? Yes, they were. But were they protected? Were they preserved? Somebody say, amen. This is why many have come up with the idea of a pre-wrath rapture of the church. But I'd like to suggest that God is able to preserve us from evil. As Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it will not come near you. Noah and his family were safe in the ark. Lot was ushered out by angels. Some of us may get martyred. Hopefully it's not our peace officers. The children of Israel were safe in the land of Goshen. When the angel of death passed through Egypt, they had applied the blood on the doorposts. And so when Revelation says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, we apply the blood on each of our lives. And so you are protected. Folks, Daniel was not the diet for the lions because he was, somebody say, protected. Protected. So Daniel's three friends were not burned up in the fiery furnace, which was heated 7 times hotter. They didn't even have the smell of smoke because they were protected. Okay. In Ezekiel, it talks about God tells his angels, go throughout the city and put a mark on everybody who grieves for the sins and the abominations committed in the city. A mark of protection. This idea of escapism by rapture is not biblical. In one place, Jesus says, pray that you might be found worthy to escape all these things. But the word there for escape can be translated flee. You remember? Lot's wife was unwilling to walk away from all of her possessions. So, church, as the world situation heats up and as birth pangs get closer and stronger, what is going to be our response? And while the world is fearing and fretting and failing, while they're doing the worldwide web, we're doing three other W's. What did Jesus say? He said, watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. He said, work, for the night is coming when no one can work. And he said, wait until the coming of the Lord. Everybody say, watch, wait, and work. Peter said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said that. Peter said, with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, Peter said, save yourselves from this perverse generation. So I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.